been a while.
He looks very studious, though, doesn't he?
He does. He's got his pen. He's got his paper. He's good to go.
No pocket protector, though.
Principal Matt.
It's been a summer, man. Mm-hmm. This is like muffly. Can you turn my headphone up a little bit? Hello? Check, check, check. There we go. Oh, there we go. There we go. Now I can hear me. Yeah. Wow. We're back. This is a CCF podcast in live. Well, not when you're hearing it, but we're live. We have been all summer long, kind of took a little break. We were able to use our podcast for our CCF summer series and say that five times fast. Summer, CCF summer series. It's a lot of S's. You hear that? Yeah, that's bad. Oh, anyway, so we've had the summer off and in the process of that, we've had opportunity to kind of sit down and refocus about what, you know, what we want to use the podcast for, how we want to use it. So you're probably hear maybe some different, there's a different idea, different things that we're going to be interjecting into the podcast as we head into season seven. I believe it's season seven. Season seven. And
is it or eight?
No, it's definitely seven. Yeah. It's seven. 7-1. This is episode one. And so this may sound a lot like our other ones. However, we do have a plan. We do have a plan, and we have other things that we're going to interject into our podcast. We want to address specific issues, specific things in regards to discipleship and, where we are biblically and all that kind of stuff. But today is a different day. First of all, we're doing this podcast on 9/11, which 2001. Man, okay, it's been a long time. My kids were little babies, but so we want to remember and be respectful of all the lives that were lost, and honestly, there was a big change in our world in 2001 after that, and it's been 24 years, 24 years, yeah, wild. But it was maybe 10 years ago we went. We went to New York one summer with a mission as a mission group, and it was interesting. We went into a couple of nursing homes. Some of the people that were there at that time were retired firemen and stuff like that, and they lived it, and it was pretty pretty intense listening to their stories and stuff like that. So we never want to forget what took place, and continue to lift up people, families that have lost loved ones, even that many years ago. I'm sure it's still a reminder to them each day, but it is to us as well. We are just on the 12 hours or so later from just a horrendous taking of life for Charlie Kirk. If you don't know him, he's been kind of, I don't know if you call him a social media, he's a conservative social media
apologist,
yeah. Icon kind of thing over the last several years, going on to college campuses and having open conversation and debate with people, allowing them to basically do what we have the freedom to do and have differing opinions. And I think if nothing else, teaching people that, you know, we can sit down, we can have conversation, we can have debate, we can, you know, and still, you know, care for one another, love one another. But, as of yesterday, he was assassinated in Utah, which was it's horrendous. It's awful. It's the responses, sadly, from some people is outright demonic. The dehumanization of people because they don't agree with you or they don't believe or they have differing opinions is very, very troubling. And just in our society, and it's a different America that we live in that I don't think nobody's ever navigated through. But in the wake of all that, our prayers go towards his family. I mean, he is a human. He was a father. He was a husband. He was a son. He was involved in a community, and he was a Christian brother. And so, you know, we pray for those who will miss him and who've lost him. And we know that he is with the Father and he's there in heaven, and we praise God for that. But it doesn't change the fact that what has taken place is a horrible thing. And so, you know, I was just talking to these guys earlier, and what it has done over the last 12 hours is had a lot of people send questions, asking questions. How do we respond? What do we do as Christians? What should our response be? And they have varied, you know, people's input has varied from, you know, let's, you know, make sure we lock our doors and, you know, make sure we got our security up tight and everything else. And we'll stop people down the road. And, you know, like that's one response. Other responses, you know, we need to be praying. We, you know, we are called, and as difficult as it is, we are called to pray for our enemies. And that's straight out of Jesus's mouth. So don't kill the messenger. Sorry. Don't do that. So that's kind of where we're at. There's a couple questions that I'm going to throw out to these guys, and we're going to talk about it, so that maybe in your wonderings and questions and thoughts of where does this lead? How do we live our lives as Christians in a culture that, as even I talked about this summer, you know, it's a negative world culture. We are not in the same world as we were 30 years ago, where Christianity was kind of a cool thing, or just like, yeah, whatever, you can be a Christian, and you know, we have our own differing opinions. Now the ideology of the world is completely opposite of what we believe, and so it puts us in conflict. So one of the questions that came actually to me specifically this morning was in regards to righteous anger. People are angry. Christians are angry. And they want to know what does righteous anger look like? How do you navigate that? How do we respond? If I am angry, how do I do this in an appropriate way that, you know, and so, you know, I wrote that person back a couple of my own thoughts, but, I thought at least we could kick off today and say, you know, okay, what are your thoughts in regards to righteous anger? Where that plays a role, and what does it look like for us?
You're gonna go. I know you got something to say. I can see it on your face.
Well,
that's enough.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go.
The first thing I kind of think of is, why do we get angry?
I just thought that. Yeah,
and typically, when we get angry because we don't understand or we get confused.
Yeah.
So you get frustrated, you get angry, and when we are confused, we don't understand, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray for understanding, for discernment, for peace.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's the only way we can truly handle anger. And that is hard for me to say.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's... I have more, but you can go.
Oh. Well, I mean, to go off of that, like, why do we get angry?
Yep.
Like, what? So I've heard it, too, in the things, like, I'm angry about this.
Right.
Well, what are you angry about? Like, right. Why are you angry? It takes me back to, you know, I read it, and I can't remember who it was that wrote it on our text, but he died for Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we look at it in the light of he died for Christ, we should not be angry. We should be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Peter and John were beaten in the temple for standing up, and they walked out rejoicing that they were deemed worthy.
Yeah.
Right? When Jesus was in the garden, getting ready to go be crucified, knowing that he's getting ready to be crucified, Peter got angry and chopped off somebody's ear, and right. Jesus healed him.
Yeah.
That's not anger. That's us being fleshly, and
right.
I would dare say righteous anger, like Tobin had said earlier when we were talking before. Righteous anger is, you know, he was angry at the priests.
Mm-hmm.
He was angry at the religious aspect. God gets more angry about the things that people's so-called religion does than he does for the people that are in the world,
right.
He knows that they're in the world. Like, I mean, Tobin had said it earlier, you know, I mean, mean, in this world, you're going to have troubles. Jesus said it. You're going to have troubles.
Yep.
You know? It's, I mean, I think to be upset about it and to be like, that's a shame. There was more to do. But if we believe, if we 100%, and I had this conversation with Thomas earlier today, if we 100% believe everything that's in the Bible and everything that Jesus said, those things shouldn't upset us. They we should be like, hey, you know what? He finished the race.
Yeah. Right.
And now he's there sitting at the right hand, you know, sitting at Jesus' feet, you know. What?
Well, I mean, even before that, though, Jesus washed Judas's feet,
mm-hmm.
knowing full well what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Washed his feet.
Right.
There's no more humbling service that you can do from back then when you washed somebody's right. feet.
I think sometimes we look for opportunities to start a fight.
Yeah.
What?
That's
true.
I do. I think we wait for them. We wait for opportunities to justify our opinions and our the things that bother us instead of going and I would dare say, like, hey, look, why don't you get into the Bible and see what Jesus says about the anger that you have and see if it's justified then.
Right.
Because we justify everything through the Word.
Yeah.
Right? Everything that we do is through the Word. And if you can justify that through the Word, then okay, go for it. Then that would be righteous anger.
Right.
Right. I think there has to be a clarification and because the word, the gospel, or not the gospel, in Psalms, others, you know, talks about, you know, we are to hate evil.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we love what is good. We hate evil. And there is an anger that arises or that comes from, you know, wickedness, you know, injustice, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, we are angry and that's understandable. People are, you know, you get angry because you see, ultimately, what are we seeing? I mean, in a biblical worldview, we're seeing the wickedness of man because of sin. Yes. You know what I mean? Like it's sin, and this is the degrading, the degradation, the spiraling down of humanity because of sin. And so, yeah, it can make us angry. And I hearken back to, you know, many of the Psalms where David's like, how long, O Lord, are you going to let the, you know, like, yes. there's, you know, smite my enemy, do all these type of things. Cause like there is wickedness and there is injustice and we see it. And sometimes, and I think for a lot of us, like, well, we see that, but what, like, we feel powerless to do anything about it.
Right.
All right. And so, you know, and I think you're, you know, Matt, like your response is correct. Like, but we're not powerless against it. We are first initial, like, okay, we need to pray. Like, you know, this is a battle, not against flesh and blood, as even though it has been personified. And I believe that people that can go to this point and just dehumanize others and kill them are you know, they're demonically being, you know, used by the enemy. And but regardless, it's, you know, it is a spiritual warfare that we're in. It is the, you know, the tearing down of strongholds, and these things are all done through prayer. It's through saying, okay, God, like, we are of your kingdom. We know, like you said, like Jesus told us, it, you know, we're going to have trouble. Yeah. We're going to be persecuted. They're going to hunt us down. People are going to kill you claiming that they're doing it for God, because it'll just, you know what I mean? Like, that's what the disciples knew. Like, Jesus told them directly, this is what's going to happen. You know, I think for us, and I'll just say, like, us Americanized Christians, we haven't experienced this outright. Like, not, I mean, maybe people tell you bad words or they don't like you, but to outright someone kill somebody because of their faith, because of them speaking truth, you know, those type of things, like, whoa, like, this doesn't happen in America. Like, it's not supposed to happen. Well, it is happening. It has happened. And I think that's where the confusion comes in, because, like, well, where are we? And again, it's like, well, you know, if you read the book, you realize, like, the dark is going to get darker, the light is going to get lighter, you know, and hallelujah, Jesus is going to come back.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, like, then to go back to the anger, like, see, people, I think they misunderstand anger for calling.
Yeah. Right.
Like, oh, how many things have been birthed out of that anger, that hate for evil, that, okay, this is bad, this shouldn't happen. You know, children are being, absolutely, you know, yeah, right, taken out. And when you think of that, what's that movie there where they, the guy goes into...
Oh, like the trafficking one.
The trafficking. Yeah. Right? Yeah. The human trafficking. Yeah.
I
can't remember.
Watch it.
No, I started watching it, turned it off. I can't do that. But that type of thing, you know, birthed, like, hit that guy, right? He was so upset by it and so angered by it that he did something. Jesus, right, when he saw them in the temple and saw the way that they were mistreating God, you know, and making a profit from,
right,
that and his people, it angered him to the point of action. But he didn't go around like killing people. He, right, just went around and drove them out. Like, this is not what we're, yeah, gonna do here. Yeah. So the action, there has to be some sort of action that comes,
absolutely,
from, like, you can't just sit on, like, well, I'm going to be angry and I'm going to just run my mouth.
Right.
You know, if there's an action, if you feel that there's an action, you know, who's stepping into Charlie Kirk's place?
Exactly. Right. Right. Like, you know, that should be the fuel for all of us. Like,
right. I need to study more. I need to know more. Yeah. I need to go out on the streets more. I need, yeah, to do it. If it angers you, yeah, that badly,
right,
maybe that's what God is saying to you.
We need to be bolder in our witness. You know, and to the other side of, like, yeah, I mean, we need to do it extravagantly, love extravagantly. Yeah.
It should, okay, also be a little eye-opening. Where's the persecution in my life?
Right.
If we're walking through life easily, yeah, without any challenges, are we really living, right, for the glory of God?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, I mean, it goes, we're talking about Pastor Joby Martin and that episode we were listening to yesterday.
Yeah, deeper
align, when you were talking, so, just a minute ago, they talked about aligning our life to the word, mm, and not the word to our life.
Right.
Right.
Because a lot of times we try to say, okay, how can I twist this scripture to make it fit how I want it to be, instead of really saying,
right,
nah, I'm wrong. I need to live my life this way because this is what the Bible says.
Yeah. Right.
And it's, I think that's really something that we have to start seriously looking at and stop wondering about, should I take this opportunity? Should I not take it? We need to take the opportunity.
Right.
And really live through love, and just that love, mercy, grace is pour from us. The world is looking, darkness hates light. So the more that we can spread light,
right,
the more that we outshine the darkness. And
because there are people who are lost in the dark, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and there are some who are just hard, like, we don't know, like, we don't, you know, they're just hardened and whatever, but, you know, we are still, like yesterday I said, it doesn't change our mission regardless of the threats towards our beliefs, the threat towards the gospel, the threats towards ministry, whatever. It doesn't change our mission. Our mission is still to reach the lost, right? Because we have the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And, you know, we are bearing witness to the transforming power of Jesus Christ in, yeah, multitude of people's lives over the last couple of years, you know, and we're looking at the fruit of people, and we're baptizing, you know, 50, 60 people, yeah, it's like, okay, like we're seeing the fruit, and every one of them will tell you, yeah, they were once, we were once in darkness and now we're in light. And so that's our mission. Right. It's not to, you know, I guess I worry about, I encourage people to think, okay, yes, maybe there's an initial, like, I gotta secure, like, I need to make sure, like, I'm safe or my family's safe. And absolutely, you know, as men, like, that's our, I get it. Like, that's our role. I mean, I want to protect my kids. I want to protect my wife. Like, that's what we do. But when it comes to, like, the church and the ministry, and it's like, yeah, we have certain things in place. We have security that just kind of keeps, you know, keeps an eye on things, whatever. But you know, the last thing we're going to do is we're not gatekeeping the doorways. Right. We're ushers into the kingdom of God, not gatekeepers of, you know, who can come in, who can come out. So, you know, we it just says, okay, Lord, well, we have a lot more work to do. We have people who, you know, are literally hate the truth of the gospel, hate, you know, what we stand for. And so we have more work to do. We have more prayer to pray. We have more love to give. And I think we need to be, you know, more motivated in that direction. It's like, okay, we got to get out there. Yeah. And rather than like, I love that verse in Hebrews. Like, we are not those who shrink back. Like, we are those who, like, we are going to persevere until, you know, through into eternal life. And so
it's like, okay. This will, I mean, some people will not shrink back, but they will shrink, they'll pull back to their home base.
Yep.
And they'll hunker down and they'll go to the gun store and buy,
right,
you know, 93 guns and 9,000 rounds of ammunition. Yep. And be like, oh yeah, they're not coming into my house.
Right.
But you're also not going anywhere to do anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so
right.
We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Right. So that's right. Where we go by. That's what we do. That's our modus operandi.
Oh, that's good. Good word, modus operandi. I like that. Yeah. Work that in more. Yeah.
I try to work it in all the time. Mode of operations.
I like that. Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good word. Yeah.
I knew a pastor said it all the time. All the time. And it just kind of stuck.
It is. Well, that's what we do. That's what we do.
It is what we do.
And you know, and for those, I mean, I don't want people to think like, yeah, we want to validate your feelings of anger, of confusion, of fear. We get it. I mean, it's like, whoa, what is going on? It is shocking. And I, you know, I feel the same way. Like I felt sick yesterday. I was like, this is just like, there's obviously, we all know there's something terribly wrong in our world. But it also, after the wave of sickness came, like, okay, like, right, we see what's happening. You know, the enemy's showing his hand, and we're like, all right, yeah, we realize, like, either the time is short, and he's like, no, you know, and we're also, you know, we're seeing a revival, we're seeing a harvest, we're seeing these things that if the enemy can get us to just back off a minute, right, then he wins. And so, it's quickly that sick feeling in my gut turns to the motivation to like, no, we're heading in the right direction. Yeah. You know, like if the 80s video games didn't teach me anything, it taught me, you know, when you're winning, you face the bigger boss, right? Yep. At the end, you got, you know, whoever it is at the end, Donkey Kong Jr., whatever. But so we know we're heading in the right direction. We're fighting bigger bosses at every level, and so it's good. There's resistance, but it does call for prayer. And I think if nothing else, my hope would be that as Christians we would be more united for the cause, for the gospel, for the realization that, you know what, it's not a competition between churches. It is a kingdom of God that we are trying to advance. All of us, you know, all of us are in it, and we need to be able to come alongside and support one another. And, you know, I want to celebrate every Bible believing, Bible preaching church that's out there. Like, yes, like go with it, go for it. Like, we're not in competition. Like, keep preaching, keep doing it, keep reaching out to keep doing those things, keep preaching the truth. And, you know, you have allies with you. So that's exciting that way. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything else?
First Peter. I want to read First Peter. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 12.
Can you do it in a Scottish accent?
I could, but I'm not.
Oh, come on. Come on, mate.
Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that has come upon you as though something strange were happening to you. Mm. But rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed at the revelation of his glory. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Indeed, none of you should suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or even as a meddler. But if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but glorify God that you bear that name. For it is his time, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? Mm-hmm. And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should entrust their souls to the faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Yeah. That is a good word. It's a good reminder that this is what we're in. And, anyhow, elsewhere it says, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. There's no place for vengeance and revenge. We know that in the end, God makes all things right.
Yeah.
The wicked will be punished, the righteous will be rewarded. And, you know, we know that. We know that to be true. We hang on to that as our faith, you know, and believe that, okay, God, like this is a wicked thing that happened, you know, but he's with you, right? So, like, to live is for Christ, and to die is I'm with Christ, is like Paul would say, like, hey, I can't lose. I mean, I'm either living for him or I'm with him. And so I think we all need to have that gut check experience of like, okay, Lord, let's use this as like, Lord, am I ready to be able to do that? I mean, I just watched a little video of him talking. Someone had asked him, like, is he worried about, you know, this type of thing and how people have, like everyone, like, you know, they write the keyboard warriors that threaten your family and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he had spoken with his wife, and he's like, this is what we're called to do. You know, like, it didn't change. And it's like, you're right. Like, this is it. Like, I'm standing for truth. I'm standing against evil, you know, and that's it. Like, I would trust God for the rest. And
it's hard because we as a nation have been comfortable. God has blessed this nation. Yeah. And if somebody can disagree with me, they're wrong, because we've been a blessed nation.
Absolutely.
If you look at China and you look at, you know, different third world countries where, I mean, they're lopping people's heads off for Christ. We don't know what tribulation is. We don't know what persecution is. Right. And we have sat on, here we go. We have sat on our laurels for a long time as Christians.
It's a good word, laurels.
Laurels. We sat there not doing anything, not doing what we're called, not reaching people, not expanding the kingdom, not praying, not being active. We have spent so much time not doing that our nation is now where we're at now.
Yeah.
And I believe it's such a time as this. Anyways, like God ordained time, and nothing is going to change that. But there's more we could have done. Yeah. We know it as a church. We know it as a people. Yeah. We know that, okay, you know what? I haven't done what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
We know it. Yeah. But we're here, and now we're starting to experience just a little bit of what persecution looks like. And we're like, oh, no. Well, hold on.
Yeah.
And I really believe, just hold on, people, because this is the beginning of persecution.
Yeah.
And we just can't be surprised. You know, we have to make a decision now who you choose to follow, right? We make that decision. I choose to follow Christ. No matter what, my calling is my calling. My mission is my mission.
Exactly.
I don't steer from it. I don't veer from it. I just keep going forward. Right. The end. And whether they take my life or not, you know, what does Paul say? You know, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Amen.
And that's where we need to be. Yeah. But that needs to be our modus operandi.
Modus operandi. Oh, use it twice, dude. Yeah.
That's where we need to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some encouragement for how we should be excited to be persecuted for Christ, you can look up a guy that I can't wait to meet.
Let's go.
Ignatius of Antioch.
Yes.
I mean, that dude was literally on his way to be fed to lions. And he's like, I hope those lions are sharpening their teeth right now on the bones of those that have gone before me.
Yeah.
Do not write to try to get me out of this.
Don't pray.
I want
don't
to
pray
meet
for
the
me
Lord.
To get out of this.
Yeah. I will not change from the message that has been given
to me. That's right.
And like to have that mindset, that's bold.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And we're human. When we think about things, like when I think about my family, when I think about my girls, like it's hard. It's hard to kind of really think that way of like, oh yeah, yeah, sure. That's feed me to lions. That'd be great. Because like you think about that protection piece, but really that has to be our forethought, and not because we're looking for a fight, but just that no matter what the world wants to do to me, I want to spread the love of Jesus, that anyone that I come across knows where I stand for the Lord and knows that I care enough that I want to share that love with them. And if they want to do harm to me, then how great it'll be if someday when they get to heaven to join me, that they're there.
Yeah.
Because after they did that, they realized, wow, this was real.
Yeah.
And that's hard to think about. I mean, to think about going to heaven and seeing someone like Stalin or Hitler or Saddam Hussein.
I'd heard this somewhere. Like, think about like Paul. When Paul went to heaven, he was greeted by Stephen.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, right. Whoa.
Whoa.
How crazy is that?
Like, I've said that like all like Paul was there when Stephen was stoned and all this stuff, but I never thought about the fact of like Stephen was there.
Yeah, everyone that they threw into prison and persecuted, and Stephen, he stood and watched him be stoned to death, and he was there greeting him in death. Like,
I wonder if he went,
dude.
Yeah. Told you so. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, like, I really think that, like, that's why, like, our mindset needs to change.
Right.
Like, I appreciate Charlie Kirk. And my heart does go out for his family because it is terrible, but it should be celebrated.
Absolutely.
That like he gave his life for Christ
to be unashamed.
Like, absolutely.
He can stand there unashamed.
Yes.
When he he's standing there now going, look, I did everything I could and he took my life and I still didn't change what I was doing.
That's right.
Oh, for that to be me.
Yep. Exactly.
I want that.
Yeah.
Want that. That's we all should want that. We all should desire that in such a way that, I mean, we don't desire, like Matt said, we don't look for a fight, but we become Tom Petty and we don't back down.
Right.
Right.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I'm not backing down.
Right.
No matter what.
Good tune.
So I think we're going to do it at church.
Yes.
I think we can fit that in somewhere.
Yeah. And I think like something like this not to just kind of beat a dead horse, but you know, there's the Christian response like that, that should be our response as a Christian. That's that's what I want to be. And then there's the other side of it is like, we're Americans and this is happening in America. And I get like, and I think that's where the confusion comes because this is not what's supposed to take place in our country. This is I'm an American. This is not right.
Yeah.
You're correct. It's not right. And not what our founding fathers based like the Constitution and set this nation forward. It was for a people, you know, the Constitution was written for a God believing people, you know, and it's the only way it will work. And now our Constitution is in conflict with the people. And that's, you know, we're noticing that. So some of that, like, that anger, I wonder, like, is it patriotic anger, right? We're not talking righteous anger. We're talking, yes, I get patriotic anger. Like, you know, I love Braveheart and those, like, this is my land, right? Yeah. And so there's an aspect of that I'm like, absolutely. Like, I can get angry about that. Like, this is our land. This is the home of the free, land of the brave, whatever, you know? But that's patriotic anger. Right. Like, we're talking righteous anger. Righteous anger is in Christ, and it really squeezes that definition down to like, okay, like we know what's coming. We know we're going to be persecuted. We know these things. And so there is a different response to that. So I think for some people that ask like, okay, well, like you said, like, what am I angry about?
Right.
I think, well, maybe we're more angry because we're Americans and we're patriots and this has happened and this is not supposed to happen.
Right.
In what we have defined America as, and it's happened. And I get that. Like, we can be angry. Right. But as Christians, which we should, are Christians first, if the, you know, this is persecution, this is silencing of you know, someone who's preaching the gospel and truth and Jesus Christ, and it's like, we can celebrate that, you know, and like, yes, and no, like, that's going on. So I think maybe that's part of where the confusion comes.
And I think so. And like the anger, like, maybe the our definition of anger also is, you know, like we can be angry. Like we can be righteously angry at the murdering of babies every day.
Right.
We can be righteously angry about that. Yeah. That is just a spit in God's face. Yeah. Like that's what that is. Yeah. And we can be angry about it. And there's things that like we do, like if there's a bill that comes around, we're signing it. Right. I mean, we need to be active about those things. We, what action are we putting behind that? Right. Mm-hmm. That's the righteous anger that like, this is not right. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. This is not how God designed it to be. So therefore it does anger me and it does upset me, but what are we doing? Like there needs to be an action behind that anger as well. You can't just say it and go back to, and that's kind of what, like I had said earlier, like we have as a nation, not we've been righteous angry. And I use the quotes because we were angry as keyboard warriors.
Right, yes.
Angry as talking to my neighbor and just being like, yeah, that really upsets me and I'm so upset. And everybody we can talk to, we don't actually do anything to make that change.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, we need to be, okay, what is it? And we need to pray about it. Yeah. Like, we need to seek God. If that's really, if you're angry about it, you need to seek God. What is it that you want me to do about this? Right.
Yes.
You know, and is this a fight that I need to be in?
Right.
Or is this a fight that you got somebody else for? And do I need to support this person? Right. Or do I need to be behind this person? Or like, do I have another thing? Because there are people who get angry about everything.
Yeah.
And it's just righteous anger. Yeah.
No. I don't have enough energy to be angry about everything.
No.
No.
No. And patriotic anger, I mean, that's definitely a thing. I mean, like, we all get that way. But I wonder, like, and I wonder because we have so many similarities with Israel, and the way that, like, as a Christian nation, as a believing in God, and we are a God-fearing nation, and we've turned our back on Him, and God allowed so many times Israel to be overtaken and overrun by terrorists.
Right.
Like they were all, every one of them that took over Israel were terrorists. Like they killed women, children, everybody that was there. And we're like, we can do that and no big deal. Like, and then when it happens, we go, whoa, hey, what's going on?
Right, right.
You know?
It's good. It's a good it's a tough conversation. But it's in our faces and we're going to continue to walk this out. I think there's a lot of people smarter than us and that can probably give better answers to whatever. But I think in general, like what we've all started with, like if nothing else, it should get you on your knees and praying. And seeking the Lord for like what am I to do?
And praying. Go back to what Josh said earlier. Praying for the action.
Yes.
Right. What is the action? Like if you're politically minded.
Right.
Run for a political office and use that to be like I didn't apply to become a principal.
Right.
Because I want status or I want money. Right. I applied to be a principal because I want to be a light in my building.
Yep.
And I've had more people talk to me about why can't we have prayer in school? We can.
Right. Right.
Pray whenever you want to.
Yeah.
Like, well, can we pray with you? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, people want that. But when you're going and doing these things, don't go because you have a vendetta. I mean, if you want to go and do something, pray about it. Pray for God to truly put you and put the words in your mouth that you want to use, that you're going to use, and then run for that office. If you're running for office because you just want to tighten a budget or you want to change policy, that's not the reason to run for an office. It's to be a light in the darkness through our example, through our love, through our grace, through our understanding of what God has for us. And that's what we need to do. We need to stop being the silent majority because we're not the majority anymore. Right. We need to step out with actions of love, actions of faith. Faith is a verb.
Yes.
It's not a word. It's action. It's doing.
Yeah.
And that is what Paul meant when he said, Show me your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because he worked his faith every single day.
Yeah,
amen. And that is if we're angry right now, it should be because we haven't been doing. And that's what I'm getting fired up about. I haven't been doing everything that I can do to live out my faith for God.
Mm.
who's blessed my life so much.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I mean, and we're humans, right?
Yeah.
So we know we're humans. We know we have anger. We know that, you know, maybe we have anger issues, you know? True. So
yeah,
we should be praying not just for the action, but acknowledging the fact, I mean, God knows, right? So yeah, acknowledge the fact that, look, I'm angry about this. If it's not righteous, help me with it.
Right? Yes.
But make it righteous if yep, it is, you know? Don't let the fire burn out if it's for me.
Right. That's right.
You know, yeah, that's where we should be.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, good. Well, hey, I think that's a big chunk of stuff to listen to and we could keep going. We could.
And I'm going to plug in for deeper with Joby Martin, Pastor Joby Martin.
Nice. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a resource on awesome, on that, he talks about Elijah. It's super good. Yeah. It will help. He talks about exactly what we're talking that's about, awesome, too. Yep. That was before this even happened. Yeah, so he talks about righteous anger. And so that's a good resource.
Awesome.
If you want to explain. He explains it really well.
Is that his podcast or is
it's his podcast, it's, yeah.
Deeper with Joby Martin.
Yeah.
Deeper with Joby Martin.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Well, hey, I hope that this was informative and encouraging and challenging as well. And we want you to keep listening to us. We're back in action. Next week, we're going to start kind of our new format be tackling some issues and stuff around just how, living this Christian life. Like, how do we do this? We got a lot of new believers, a lot of new people walking with the Lord for the first time. And there's a lot of questions that come up with that. So we want to be able to help them, as well as some of you seasoned saints that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Hopefully you'll find some encouragement in it as well. So thank you for listening and check in with us next week.